what Christmas gifts you can give your teenage son, husband, father, or any man close to your heart, think of Gillette. There's a Gillette razor priced for every budget. And here in the Gillette three-way trio, there's a light, medium, or heavy razor to suit any skin or beard exactly. Buy one with Blue Blade dispenser in this handy travel case for only 15 shillings. See this Gillette set in a high-quality red leatherette case for 32 and 6. Has a one-piece razor and Blue Blade dispenser. Here's the Gillette Aristocrat in this handsome lizard grain case for 45 shillings. A heavily plated one-piece razor and Blue Blade dispenser. And just arrived from America, this magnificent Gillette adjustable razor at £7, 10 and 6. This razor has 9 precision adjustments to suit every skin condition. This Christmas, buy him Gillette, the only way to get a real man shave.
You're listening to Wet Shaving Talk, powered by Sharpologist.com, where we're dedicated to preserving the art and skill of plastic shaving. I'm your host, Joe Borelli, and today is December 23rd, 2020. Alright guys, a little commercial, a little vintage Gillette Christmas commercial for you guys to start the podcast off since we are in the holiday season. That commercial is actually, I believe, Australian, and it is about 60 years old. So that was when introducing the Gillette adjustables and the toggle and everything like that. So really cool to see that. It's also available on YouTube, so just search vintage Gillette Christmas commercial and that'll come right up. A couple other sites have that on as well, but I love that commercial. I watch it every holiday season, and I actually have used the material on it several times before. So today on the show, guys, first and foremost, our final show of the year. That's it. This is it for 2020. And to talk about a year that's gone up and down and all over the place lately, and how we've had to really adapt, I think, out of all of the years that I've been doing the podcast and I think maybe being alive, this has been one of the biggest years of change. So it's coming to an end, and this is actually our final show of the year, and we'll be returning in 2021, and who knows what that has in store for us, but looking forward to that and really in general. So we're looking forward to a new year and starting off fresh and just having a good time, right? Trying to. So a little bit of the year in review. Now, traditionally on the podcast, I usually do a year in review to where I go over each show that we've done and talk about some highlights on it. But this year, I was thinking about doing something different because of COVID, because of everything changing so much and the world just going kind of shutting down for about 6 months and then coming back. I'm going to just go and do a verbal, just write off. I have some notes in front of me and just talk about the year in general, what's happened, instead of going over every show, because it's changed so much. And honestly, during about halfway through the year, it was a little difficult because there wasn't really much going on. So still a lot of things in the wet shaving world and a few things that I do have, and just some vendor information and all that stuff too. So we'll talk about that. Also, I wanted to say, honestly, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Hanukkah, all those holidays. I really hope that everybody's enjoying themselves this year. Just to reflect a little bit on 2020 at the end of all of that, too. So, that being said, without further ado, let's get on with the final show of 2020. All right, guys, so I just wanted to say Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and a Happy Hanukkah. As you can see from that commercial, Christmas time, the fourth quarter, has a lot to do with the wet shaving world in the past and probably right now as well, where this is the biggest quarter for releases of vintage equipment. So what do I mean by that? When Gillette was making new models of safety razors and really, really big into coming out with new stuff, traditionally in the past from probably the 1910s till the 1980s, they really did their releases for Christmas. That's when they were really looking to get their new stuff out, because that's when everybody was buying stuff. So they're looking for a Christmas gift. They wanted to release it during this time of the year. So always around Christmas time, that's why you see most of the new stuff, they all start with the fourth quarter or four on their date code, because they really wanted to have the new stuff come out now, because they knew people were buying and people would spend and get it. So Christmas time is historically when Gillette releases their latest models. Other companies in the wet shaving world, they also followed suit and started doing that as well. And some, really, to be honest, how many thousands of people woke up on Christmas morning opening up a box of a Gillette razor and finding it under the tree. This year, 2020, is the 60th anniversary of the F-Force Gillette Toggle and the Aquos, or the bottom dial razor too. So that's 60 years since those razors came out. So in my opinion, 60 years ago was the biggest part of innovation. All right, that was the biggest issue thing on innovation, and it was just really awesome to see that stuff going on, just to see the innovation, just to see how Gillette has actually came with the technology in the 1960. Now, in my opinion, the United States was at their peak, and it's actually not really an opinion, it's more of a fact, to be honest, with manufacturing in 1960. It was really the strongest time for the American market to be building things in the 1960s. Cars were being built. Everything was being built here, right? It was a very strong time for this country, and probably for most of the world too, right? So Gillette really followed suit with the Toggle and the adjustable razors coming out really around that time. Even though they came out in the mid-50s, they're really getting popular around 1960. And that's just shows you, when you look at one of those razors, it brings you back to that time of big cars, heavy metal, not really good on gas mileage, not worrying about gas mileage, how road trips were really big and all that stuff. And the Gillette Toggle and the Gillette adjustables just really fit into that time. Really good quality pieces that were made. So just a little reflection on that for Christmas. If you look online, you could see a lot of good stuff, a lot of good Christmas displays that were out there. Some people have some pictures of and stuff, shipper displays and countertop displays for stores. And, you know, I've heard also online, just going on the forums and stuff, some of the people that have been around for a while, a lot of them received Gillette razors for Christmas, right? And how many of them didn't open the box and kept it in there? Well, over the week, last week, a gentleman was able to find on eBay, he found a single ring from 1908 that was new, old stock, that I was just thinking about when really talking about Christmas and the holiday season, right? So he had a brand new old stock, still sealed in a wax paper with the seals on the side. So never opened. This razor was never touched. Still had the shipper box, everything. It was just probably, could have been bought as a Christmas gift, right? And you know how it is. You give somebody something for Christmas, and they put it to the side, and the gentleman who got it probably still enjoyed his double ring razor, maybe, right? Because it was a single ring from 1908. Or had a razor, or maybe already had one, and just said, yeah, you know what, I'm going to put this to the side. Well, could that be the story? Possibly, yeah, very possibly. So this guy, he opened it up, right? This is all on Facebook, too. If you're in the Vintage Gillette group on Facebook, check it out, because this is on there, the video is on there. And he opens it up, and the razor still has everything inside. And it was just like a time capsule. And I could see some of the collectors out there just going, oh, they're cringing. And some of them, people like me, are like, wow, this is like opening up your own Gillette razor from 1908 on Christmas morning. That's the first thing I thought of, because I could see that was probably when the gift was given. And just looking at it was just really bringing it back. Had a little card inside and just showed you really how they really packed them. Incredible. So I wanted to add that onto the Christmas aspect of this, because of releases and stuff, because that razor came out at that time and was probably for a Christmas gift that got put away, or maybe it was a storefront display that got put away and just never opened for 100 years. And to open it 100 years later, really cool to see the item brand new, never touched, never used. So it was just like a real nostalgic moment for me just to watch. And I thought it was just really cool, even though a lot of people didn't. They said, I'll just preserve it, put it in a museum. But you know what? What is it for? Put it in a museum, that's fine. But use it, look at it, appreciate it. Because how many times are you going to be able to open a razor that's 100 years old, over 100 years old, and be able to say, hey, I'm the first person to open it up, or see how life was? And really, Gillette's attention to detail when it came to packaging is incredible. They put it in a nice cardboard shipping box, the leather case, and they had a lot of decent stuff inside of it as well. It was just really impressive in how they actually packaged things, and everything was to the T with them. So marketing, packaging, everything was perfect. Really, really cool. And that's probably one of the reasons why Gillette was so successful in those times. So sorry for that little sidebar on the podcast, but that was a really cool thing that we saw that a lot of collectors saw over the weekend, over the last weekend. It was just really, I wanted to mention it. And I'll have it more into, maybe I can see if I can copy the video and, or get the video from the guy who did it. And I'll post it on the podcast for next year. We'll have it in January. So we'll do that too. All right, guys. The year in review for 2020. Again, like I mentioned in the beginning of the podcast, usually, traditionally, I go over every episode and talk about it a little bit and then reminisce a little. But this year, I thought, well, so much went on. I'm just going to do some highlights because it's so much it would take two or three episodes. I did record one or two, and it took me almost 40 minutes to do both doing that way. So it was impossible, you know. I just couldn't get it all into the time frame. So has 2020 been a different year? Oh, yeah. It has been a difficult year. It's been a year that's affected everybody listening to this podcast, whether or not you're from the United States, the Ukraine, from Japan, from Canada, from Mexico, from wherever you're listening from, any country in the world. We've all been affected by 2020 events. We've been affected by COVID, right? Somehow, some way, our lives have been affected. Now, some have been unfortunate to where they've lost a loved one, or they've lost friends, or they've lost their jobs, or something in that line. And some have been fortunate to where they were able to not have that happen to them. So it's a very sensitive year for everybody, and everybody's been affected in a different way. And when I was going over the notes from the last year, I remember the day that it actually, when I posted The World Has Changed, it was the March 16th podcast. And I wrote, that's when we started talking about, you know, sanitizing razors and slowing down and seeing what everybody was doing. And I wrote, the world has changed since the last podcast. And boy, oh boy, has it changed since every podcast since then. I remember the day, I mean, we all remember the day that we had to stop doing what we usually do, right? And just looking at the wet shaving world, how it's changed. In January and February, we were talking about meetups and how it was going to be a big year for meetups and how we were looking forward to the Big Shave Southwest and the Maggards meetup and the couple that they do in New York. Everybody was planning something big this year. And that all got put on hold. I mean, everything got ceased and stopped, right? Because it just couldn't happen. So we started doing virtual meetups. So a big part of 2020 is virtual meetups, virtual meetings, all that stuff. Zoom has become a big app to have on your phone and on your computer, all that stuff, YouTube, and just going and really talking about and being able to see each other and talk to each other really about anything, right? Meetings at work, stuff like that. A lot of people stopped going to work and had to work from home or had to go, you know, on a remote place, right? Remote desktop, remote office, anything like that, right? Traveling has stopped, all that. We know that. So 2020 in general has just been so challenging for all of us in the wet shaving world. But in the wet shaving world, there's been a lot of good points. So we've had a ton of new vendors emerge. So this year alone, just to let you guys know, while we're recapping the year, we had over 40 new vendors. I counted them out. I keep a list. And I added more than 40 vendors actually, to my list that I have of vendors this year. And only took away about 3 or 4. So the vendors, there's more of them out there. There's more of a selection when it comes to wet shaving stuff. Also, new razor releases. There was 14 new razor releases in 2020. 14. That's the most I've ever been able to find. The previous year, there was only like 7. And the year before that was about 10 or 7. So you're looking at that as a major year of innovation for the traditional wet shaving world, of something that's old bringing back new, right? So we've had new razors come out, adjustable razors all over the place, right? All these new adjustable razors have been popping up. All these producers and old-time artisans have been coming up and coming up with new stuff. I mean, so the market is full. And also, just looking at it, the releases have been selling out. So, you know, the Holy Black did a couple of major releases this year, and they sold out. You know, if you've been watching vendors like Phoenix Arson Accoutrements, you're watching vendors like Barrister and Man, the Shaving Shop Club, all those guys have been selling out pretty quickly. So their releases have been coming out, and it's giving us, actually, you gotta give them some props, because it's been giving us something to look forward to. It's been giving us some hope for 2020. So when sitting at home, you know, You can't, if you can't go out to a restaurant, you can't go to work, you can't go anywhere, you're sitting in your house. I found solace in just being able to use my shaving stuff and looking at my collection, you know, and just being able to have a good shave in the morning or afternoon or night, and just take that moment to where, hey, this is normal. This is something where it makes us happy, but it's normal. You know, it's not crazy. That for that 10 minutes or whatever, when you get to do your wet shave and look at your gear and pick out your brush and soap or whatever you're going to use for the day, you got a sense of normalcy. So wet shaving in general changed a lot with all these new vendors, with all of these new items coming out. It just added to it. Like if you had a few extra bucks, you bought a new soap. Or if you had something, you know, you talked about trading with people or whatever, and just being able to converse online about it with people from all over the world that were sitting really doing the same thing you were doing. Because this is the first time that all of us were stuck at home at the same time and being able to do this. So in short, about 2020 in general for wet shaving in general and for the world, it's the year that we all came together, I think. So we all came together on one page as people instead of just you know, different places. And for wet shaving, I think even though we didn't do any meetups this year and we weren't able to go and see each other in person, I think it brought more wet shavers together than ever. And it was a really good opportunity for them to just reflect and see where their collections are, where they are in their hobby and in the game, and just to be happy just doing it and just enjoying what you have, right? So for me in general, it was just it was a wake-up call, especially with wet shaving, just like how important it is to really enjoy the little things in life, right? So I hope you guys found the same solace in wet shaving that I did. And if you did, you know, let me know. We could talk about it on via email, or if you want to send it to me, honestly, for the next show in January, we'll definitely talk about that. Now, moving on for this year and what else has been going on, not only did we get all those vendors and all those artisans, we also saw the market go up a lot, okay? So the market on vintage Gillette razors is skyrocketed, to be really honest with you. You've had five or six razors, major razors, come out and sell for a premium. I think I saw the first $4,000 Gillette razor on eBay that I've ever seen. That was for a toggle. And then you also had a couple other, a $3,000 red dot, which is definitely the highest red dot fat boy I've ever seen go. A couple of bottom dial sell for some really good prices too, in the $3,000 range. So, I mean, you're looking at the Gillette, the vintage Gillette market, which was actually dropping down the last couple of years. I mean, you saw several razors go for under, you know, half of that, of those amounts. And we're thinking a few years ago that, oh, well, you know what, I think I even mentioned it in the 2018 podcast, the end of the year podcast, or in a couple of podcast episodes that, yeah, the market's going down for vintage Gillette. This year, it went up the most I've ever seen it go up. I mean, I've only been around for 10 years in this game, but that's what I saw. So, I mean, the market for vintage stuff went up high. And that's because people were just, I don't know what, but I think because people are looking at it like they want something and it's just going to bring them some happiness in a otherwise sad year. And they're like, I'm going to get it. I'm just going to do it. You know, and that's kind of where they are on that. And I was on there too, I believe it. Cause I can tell you, because I did the same thing. I bought a couple of items that I've been waiting on. You know, for example, I bought a bottom dial this year. And that was on my wish list for 9 years. I was looking to get one. I've always looked at it, always tried to get something. I actually had one kind of fall into my lap for a good price. So, I mean, that's why I can see in where everybody's relating to. And I was thinking about it myself when I saw these auctions, like, and going over the year in review and seeing how much we've actually changed in the vintage gear, in the vintage gear, like how much the prices have changed, how much we've changed on bidding and all that stuff. So I would say that we're probably peaking out on that, and we'll see, maybe it'll drop down or stabilize soon in the near future. So if you're looking for something like that, a rare piece, hold off for a little while. If not, if you're looking to sell, I think now would be a good time to sell too. That's just my personal opinion and what I think's going on. All right, guys. So really, in addition to the vintage market going up, the new market has actually gone down a little bit. you're looking at new razors and new brushes and all those items that have been really sought after. I think the prices have gone down. You know, Wolfman razors used to be one of those razors that used to be all the time $500 to $1,000, right? Over what they were listed. So you find a Wolfman razor $1,500 online, it would sell in 5 minutes, or do a raffle and it would sell in 10 minutes. And now they're selling for about retail use because there's a lot of them out there now. You know, he's making about 20 to 30 a month now, and it's just flooding the market. So with the new gear, I'd say you're seeing the new gear still decline, as we mentioned in the beginning of 2020. So I'd say that new gear is going to be closer to where, if you want to buy one of those razors and not wait on the waiting list for that, you'll be able to get it at retail, if not under retail, just like with regular items. So brushes as well, you know, custom brushes and all that. The prices used to be so high back in 2015 to 2017. You would see a Wolf Whiskers brush go for 3-4 times of what it was listed for, or what it retailed. Or a Declaration brush would go for 4 or 5 times what it was retail. And now you see them go for about retail. You know, they don't go much higher. And the reason being is just there's just a lot of them out there. You know, it's not as rare as everybody thinks anymore. You know, there's more of these brushes. These guys have been in business for almost 10 years, 5, 10 years. And when they've been around, there's a lot of their product out there. So just looking at the market in general, the market looks good. I think that this year, 2021, will be the year if you want to buy something new. It's a great year to do it. I think we're going to see a lot of releases. I think we're going to see some more adjustables. I think we're going to see some great soap releases. I think we're going to see some great great aftershaves and different products coming out. So really looking forward to it for 2021 coming up. And I think we'll still see the rise on the vintage gear as well. All right, guys. So that concludes the podcast for 2020. That's it for this year. We're done. I don't know if it's a blessing in disguise or if it's something that we're going to really look back to and just think about it. But I could tell you one thing. None of us will forget 2020, who went through it. So, guys, I hope this email finds you in good health and finds you in happiness and all that good stuff with this year. Looking forward to the new year and coming back on the second week of January for the podcast and getting some new material and all that good stuff, too. And guys, I want to say one thing. Another thing is thank you to all of you for listening for the whole year. It's been good for me to do this podcast personally because it keeps some normalcy to me and just to really enjoy the wet shaving hobby as long as I have and just been and listening to you guys and watching your posts online and having those emails sent to me and stuff like that. Even though I may not respond right away, I do read every single one of them and do get to responding to them. You know, being a retail manager, it's tough this time of the year too. So I do apologize in advance. But yeah, it was just really a good thing for me. So I appreciate everything you guys have done, the listeners have done for the podcast, and keep listening, keep enjoying. And the podcast is going to be big and better things are going to come for 2021 here. So I remember our show is powered by Sharpologist.com, what your father didn't teach you about shaving. A special thanks to Mark, a.k.a. Mantic59, and most of all, you guys, the listeners. Don't forget to check out all my good stuff on ShaveStraightAndSafe.com and always feel free to email me at joe.wetshavingnews@gmail.com. Until 2021, guys, shave straight and shave safe. Bye-bye now.